back. So imagine the following scenario. I'm at home and someone starts tunneling into my house and I have two choices of what I could do when he enters. I could either stand my ground by pointing my gun at him, shooting him as soon as he enters, or I can retreat. I can leave through the back door. There's enough time to get out safely and thereby avoid any situation of pikuach nefesh. Of course, then the thief will take everything that I own. But no lives will be lost. So that's the question that I'd like to begin addressing today. What is the halacha in that case? Any thoughts?
Today they would arrest the cop.
I'm sorry?
Today they would arrest the cop.
Today they would arrest the cop. Right, okay. So, the truth is, well, before we see what the Torah has to say, not that this is the proper order, but just for curiosity, anyone know what the American law is? Nobody? Yes, that's correct. It depends what state you're in. Many states have stand your ground laws. The first state to pass such a law was Florida in 2005. And that allows a person to stand their ground and there is no need to retreat. There's actually, what is New York? New York is the opposite. New York is a duty to retreat state, as is New Jersey. According to New York law, you must retreat. You may not stand your ground unless you're in danger. So you can't stand your ground in order to protect your property. And then there are middle states, which have the castle doctrine, which basically means that in your own property you could stand your ground, but elsewhere you can't. So, as I said, our discussion will be about what the Torah has to say about this question. So we'll begin with the psukim from this week's Parsha, source number 1 on page 2. Start from Pasuk Aleph. Bimba machteres yimatze haganav v'huka v'meis ein lo damim. If while breaking in, a thief is discovered in a tunnel and he is struck and he dies, it's as though he has no blood. In other words, this is not considered murder. The next pasuk, imzarcha Hashem shalav damim yeshlo, sorry, damim lo, shalem yishalem, im ein lo v'ninkar b'gnei vaso. However, if the sun shines upon him, it is as if he has blood, he shall surely pay. And if he has no money, so he'll be sold for his theft. What does this mean? Rashi explains this as a metaphor. If the matter to you is so clear that the thief is coming to not to kill, he's peaceably disposed towards you, such as the sun. In other words, it's obvious that he isn't coming to kill. So then, killing him is murder. You're not allowed to kill the thief. And at the same time, because the thief isn't chayiv misa, so he would have to pay. And that's why Rashi explains, I'm sorry, the thief would have to pay for a stolen property. Theoretically, if the thief is chayiv misa, and in the process of, because you could kill him, he would be pater, because of kimlevi d'rabbanan, correct. So now, Rashi, for example, says an example. If a father is tunneling in to steal from his son, so a father, even if he's going to steal from his son, wouldn't shoot his son. So therefore, the son can't shoot the father who's tunneling in. If he did, the son would be chayav misa, because the son's life is not in danger. And therefore, if your life is not in danger and you shoot the intruder, then the Baal HaBayis is the murderer. However, the typical case is the opposite. The typical case is that the Baal HaBayis' life is in danger. If someone is tunneling into your house, typically your life is in danger, and therefore you could shoot him. And this is, in fact, the basis of the rule, Haba lahargecha hashkem lahargo. If someone is out to kill you, so you should preemptively strike, you should kill him before he has a chance to kill you. And that's why the Gemara, that the Pasuk says, in a normal situation, you, the Baal HaBayis, can shoot first. Now, what is the basis for this? So the Gemara source number 2 explains. Amar Rava, my taima de machteres, Chazaka ein adam ma'amid atzma al mimona. What's the reason for this halacha of haba b'machteres? Because most people will not simply stand idly by when someone is trying to take their money. Rather, they're going to protect their assets, and that will cause this to escalate to a situation of pikuach nefesh. V'hai meimar amar iazilna kaila apai v'lo shavikli v'i kaila apai katilna le. The ganav knows this when he goes in, when he tunnels into the house. And parenthetically, the Gemara says it's not limited to tunneling, but any situation where we could assume this chazaka, where we will assume that the ganav is coming al iske nefashos, he's coming to kill. So what happens is that the ganav knows that the Baal HaBayis is going to stand his ground. And yet, he goes, he tunnels, he nevertheless decides to break in. So what's his logic? His logic is, well, if he's going to stand up against me, if he's going to stand his ground, I'm going to kill him. Because after all, that's why I'm tunneling in. V'atorah amra, so it's clear that the Baal HaBayis can kill the ganav, can kill the rodef. There's an interesting question before we were discussing before the shir starts. Is Baba Machteris the same thing as a rodef? Is it different? At first glance, it would seem to be the same. There might be some differences. The Rambam, for example, paskins them in two different places. Today's topic we'll focus on Baba Machteres, but we will consider the halachos of Rodef a little later. They're certainly relevant. The basic idea, though, is the same, that in a Rodef, you can kill a person who's trying to, the pursuer who's trying to kill another person, and likewise here, the Baal HaBayis could kill the Baba Machteres. Now, what's clear from the Psukim and from the Gemara is that if the Baal HaBayis, his life is in danger, he can kill the Baba Machteres to defend his life, to save his life. That case is clear. That's the typical case. The question that I want to address with you today is not explicit in the Psukim, nor is it explicit in the Gemara. That's the question that we asked before, which is what happens, what is the halacha if I have an option? I can retreat. I can retreat because as soon as the ganav walks in, I could wave a white flag, or before he walks in, I could slip out the back door, or I could put up my hands, whatever the case is. If I do that, I know with certainty that my life is not going to be in danger, right? If I retreat, so I'll be out of the house before he gets in, my life won't be in danger, and therefore, nobody will get killed. So do I have to do that? Or am I allowed to stand my ground? And if I stand my ground, I know what's going to happen. That's going to escalate the situation, and it's going to force me to have to kill the Ghana. Basically, to give an extreme case, I have two choices. I could retreat, or I could shoot the gun if the moment he walks in. If I don't shoot him, if I'm here, and I don't shoot him the moment he walks in, my life is in danger. But I could retreat. Now, why is this such an interesting question? Because we know the halacha is clear. You cannot kill someone to save your money. There's no doubt. If somebody goes ahead, for example, and pickpockets me, he has my wallet, and now I pull out my gun, I say, give me my money back, or I'll shoot you. I guess I could say that, but I can't shoot him. I can't shoot him to get my money back. You're not allowed to kill someone to get your money back. So would we say that's essentially what I'm doing here? Since I have the option to escape, I could prevent the situation from escalating. I have an option of making sure that nobody's life will be lost, so then I must do that. Because I can't shoot someone to save my money. Or do we say, no, this is different? And if it's different, why is it different? Why would it be that I can stand my ground, even though I know that what will happen is that will lead to a loss of life? Oh. So here I think we can ask the following question. I formulated over here on page one. I just wrote it down so we could see the three options. Hopefully we won't get confused. Why can the Baal HaBayis kill the thief? He should be obligated to retreat instead of escalating the situation to stand his ground. So there are three options. Option number one, we don't blame the Baal HaBayis for his poor choice. This seems to be, in other words, the Baal HaBayis' decision is almost like it's human nature. When the Gemara says, Chazaka, go back to source number two again. Chazaka ein adamamid atmal mimono. This is the way humans naturally act. People don't stand by idly when they're about to lose their whole fortune, especially in the days before insurance. So they're not going to just... Exactly, you're not just going to stand around. You're not going to let it happen. My grandmother lived in the Bronx, and she was once, somebody was walking on the street, and someone grabbed her purse. And amazing, right? So she held on, and he held on, and they were both, you know, almost tug of war until the purse snapped. Unfortunately, she fell and hurt herself, and the ganav ran away. But that's the point. People don't just stand around and, you know, even though the ganav and let, you know, okay, take my purse. Obviously, I don't know if all young women nowadays are as tough as my grandmother was. But the point is, that's the chazaka. That's the way people act. And therefore, we don't blame you for your choice of standing your ground. And we'll see in 1 second, I'll take your question, that seems to be the perspective of the Ran, source number three, which we'll read now. Yeah. Then there's... if you can't... as I said, that's going to be a different question. For sure... then you could kill. You could kill. The question that I'm asking is, everybody could escape safely. There's no danger to any life in any sense. Are you still allowed to stand your ground? You're the only one in the house. You have a gun, but you could also get out the back door before he enters the house. That's my question. I don't know. So if I stay, I'm going to have to shoot. If I stay, I don't know what he has. I don't know what he's going to do. I know that my life is in danger as long as I stay. Take that case, right? But I have an option of leaving before he arrives. So the question is, can I stand my ground, even though that's going to escalate the situation? I'm going to have to shoot first, or no, So that's our question. Yeah?
Isn't it chazaka? I mean, that's what people should do, or that's what people happen to
So the Gemara is unclear, you're correct. One way to read the Gemara, I would think that's the simplest way of the Gemara, is that's the way people act. Chazaka is the natural, typical behavioral pattern. What we expect people to do. Chazaka ein adam amid atzmo al mimono.
It's in the halacha of a road.
We'll get there. We're going to see. We're going to consider the different possibilities.
So the men carry the person. Same for them. Women don't.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a look at the Ran. Take a look at the Ran, source number three. So he quotes the Gemara, Vada Ikaila Paika Tilnalei, Vada Shein Kol Ganavim by Maliskei Nefashis. The Ran notes that it's not true that all Ganavim are coming to kill. Skip a little bit. Elabala Bayis, Hu Haomed Kenegdo, Almanas Laharog, in Lo Yaniach, Lo Esake Lemiad. The Balabai stands there. And he's going to kill the ganef if the ganef doesn't put down the kalim. His attitude is, if you don't put down this silver, this vase, I'm going to shoot you. Sha'afal pish enu bedin lahargo alkach. You're not allowed to kill someone for that reason. Like we said before, you can't shoot someone just to save your money, just to get your money back. Chazaka she'en adamam mit atzmal mimono. The chazaka is, that's the way people act. People act, they protect their assets, even at the expense of the life of the thief. Vaganav shu yodeazek, shu omeid kinegdo, atliske nefashos hu omeid. The ganav who decides nevertheless to continue is va atliske nefashos. And then he says a fascinating line. V'hu shehischil b'meriva uva b'machteres asahu hakasuv rodev v'amar she'en lo damim. The Ran here is saying a fascinating point. The truth is, in theory, we could have imagined saying that we should not blame the ganav, we should blame the balabais. After all, the balabais is the one who escalated it. Had he not escalated it, the ganav would have simply taken his stuff and left. So the balabais escalated. So you could have imagined saying the balabais is the murderer, not the ganav. So the pasuk tells us, this is part of the chiddush of Babi Machteres, sieves, who shehischol b'meriba, it was the ganef that started it all. Nobody asked him to break into my house. The ganef began the fight. Therefore, the Torah, it's a gzeir sakasav that he's a rodei. In other words, even though you could have said misvara, maybe we should exonerate the ganef and we should consider the balabayas the rodeith. After all, the balabayas escalated it. No, since the ganef started it all, who has killed the meriva? That's part of the chiddush. That's part of the gzeir sakasav of Babi Machteris. The Gzeres HaKasav Babi Machteris means that we blame the ganef because who is Chilbe Meriva? Now, the Ran doesn't... Okay, good question. We're going to actually talk about Safek Pikuach Nefesh at the end, after we've analyzed this. But very briefly, the simple reading of the Gemara concerning Babi Machteris is that we see the ganef as Vadai, coming to kill you. Now, is that because he is, or because we see him that way, is an interesting question. We'll return to that, and generally, I hope, the question of Safek Rodi. Okay. So, let's imagine the following situation. Right? Moshe punches Yanki, gives him a black eye. So the teacher asks Moshe, why did you do that? So Moshe answers, Yanki started it. So do we now go ahead and say, oh, okay, who is Chil B'Meriva? Yanki started it. Moshe, what you did was okay. Of course, we don't say that. We say, even though he started it, you shouldn't have given him a black eye. So why is this different? Why do we say that since, in fact, the Balabayas should not shoot in order to get his assets back, why is it that we essentially don't blame him? So could be that the Ran would answer that this is human nature. And the Torah does not expect you to overcome that human nature. Human nature is that you are going to protect your assets. You're not going to just let someone take that. And since you're going to do that, and the ganef knows that, so the ganef is coming out l'skei nefashos, and therefore we hold the balabayas as, we treat the balabayas as the innocent party and not the ganef. And therefore, it's not like the case of Moshe and Yankov. Okay, so there are two other answers to the ways to answer the Ran's question. Again, the question is, why do we exonerate the Balabayas? So one option is the simplest option, that the Torah's case is a situation where the Balabayas does not even have a chance not to escalate this situation. The Torah's case is that I'm at home, somebody tunnels into my house. Now, at this point, I don't know what he's, like you said, I don't know what weapon he has. I don't know what he's going to do. If I don't kill him right away, my life is in danger. That's the case the Torah is talking about. And that's why we don't hold the Balabayas accountable. Now, if you read it that way, so then it's possible that you would say, absolutely not. The Balabayas, should he have an avenue to escape, he must escape. That's just not the case the Torah is talking about. Take a look at the Rama, source number 4. I think that's the Yad Rama, that's the implication. He writes, V'chi tema in Cain, havele Balabayas nami rodef. Why don't we see the Balabayas as the rodef? Balabayas, la rodefu, imishum dekatil lehashta, mishum de asihu lemiktile, hu dekatile. He's only killing the ganef because the ganef is trying to kill him. My amrit, ilav chazaka deena demamid asma al nemono, la de asihu adaiti lemiktile. Were it not for this chazaka that people protect their assets, then the ganef would not have intended to be a murderer. Mikol makom, Balabayas, loka avid hashta velomidi. Still, right now, the Balabayas isn't doing anything. This chazaka is reality. So, because of the chazaka, because we know that the ganef is out to attack, that's true, theoretically, it's based off of the chazaka, eina demamid atma memono. But practically, if I don't protect myself, the ganef will shoot me. So then, The balabayis lo avin hashtav lo midi. He didn't do anything. The hashta amai ati iu lemikdale. Have le rode batora anra habala hargacha hashke moharga. So to summarize, so far I think option number one on page two is the view of the Ran. We don't blame the balabayis for his poor choice. According to the Ran, it's possible that ideally the balabayis should retreat because you're not supposed to kill someone to protect your assets. The balabayis, according to the Ran, says, if you don't put that down, you don't put down that vase, I'm going to shoot you. That's wrong. He shouldn't say that, but he's going to. And because he's going to, because that's human nature, so then the balabat, the ganef is coming, aliske nefashos, he's coming to kill. And memela, we see the ganef as the one who started it all, who is hischil b'meriva, he started it, and therefore the ganef is responsible. So option number one, we don't blame the balabais for his poor choice. That's human nature. I'm sorry?
The most poor choice was ganef than balabais.
Yes. So now, what would be if you asked the Ran l'chatchila, what should you do? It could be the Ran would say, l'chatchila, you should escape. But if you don't, if you stand your ground, we don't hold you accountable because we say, who has hischil b'meriva? Likewise, the Rama says that the reason why the ganef could kill the balabais is because the balabais had no choice but to kill in self-defense. So again, if you were to ask the Rama, what would the halacha be? If I actually, I have a 30 seconds window and I could call the rabbi, say, should I retreat or should I stand my ground? It's quite possible that according to the Rama as well, we would tell you, retreat. But as soon as he, gets through that threshold, he enters your house, now your life is in danger, then you have to shoot. The third possibility we're going to consider in one moment is the view of the Rambam. And the Rambam maintains that I can stand my ground, even l'chatzchila. Even though that I know that's going to cause the situation to escalate and force me to kill the gun. In other words, I can protect my assets, even though that's going to cause someone I could presume to lose their life. Yeah.
When we make the distinction between life and property, when we make that, we need the only chashiv kemeis.
It's true. Anev chashiv kemeis, and the Torah is chashiv kemeis, and lots of people. But what that means is that their life of someone in poverty is so difficult that it's kemeis. Nobody would say you could kill a poor person. He's already dead, right? If I go ahead and I kill, it's not nice. It might be nivel hames to shoot someone who's dead, right? But it's not murder. If you kill a poor person, it's murder. We don't allow you to in a certain way. So ani chashiv kemeis, but he's not kemeis mamish. Yeah.
Ani chashiv. So I'm hanging the Gemara definition in the Dalam. The Rambam can stand this ground, but we don't need to give Mother Misap the Evan Samachay on the Rav, the Kisei, the Kasei, the Kleiso, how a person can control his anger. And the Rambam was not exactly a Balabai, so his day is telling you this. However, Mother Misap the Evan Zion of the Rav, we learn so he's got it from Fugio. And at the same time, with the Gemara, we learn that sometimes when it comes to the Gaius, when it comes to the Zion, she has stomach. Have to give up your life first.
Right, that's true.
These are referential frameworks of individualistic circumstances.
Absolutely, absolutely. Okay, so let's see the Rambam. Let's see how he puts it, because I gave away the punchline before we read it. So this is, the Rambam is source number 5, the top of page 3. Umipnei ma hetira Torah damo shoganaf af al pi Shabal iske mamon, lefi shechazkaso sheim amad balabayis lefanav umenao yaharganu v'nimtza zeh hanichnas lebeis chavero lignov kirode fachar chavero lehargo. First of all, what's fascinating to note is the Rambam does not mention the chazak of the Gemara. The Rambam says, why is it that the Torah allows the balabayis to kill the ganav, even though he was baal iske mamon? The ganav was only coming to steal, not to kill. Because if the Baal HaBayis were to be omed lefanav, were to stand his ground, so then the ganav would kill. And therefore, he's nichnas lehargo, and he has a din of a rode. Now, to appreciate the Rambam, I'd like you to consider an even more far-fetched question, question number 2 on page 3, and that's the following question. If A says to B, eat this apple or I will kill you, can B refuse to eat the apple and then kill A in order to save his life? Now, I'm not saying what he should do. It's obvious that probably the better thing to do would be to eat the apple. But in theory, do I have to go ahead and eat the apple? I don't like apples. I'm not in the mood to eat an apple now. So can I say, no, I'm not eating the apple? And then, if you pull out your gun, I'll pull out my gun first and I'll shoot you because you're trying to kill me. You can't tell me what to do. So this question is discussed remarkably in an amazing tshuva by Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, source number 6. You see, part of it is a very long tshuva, and much of the analysis that we're going to present in the next couple of minutes comes from Rosh Shlomo Zalman's tshuva. It's a brilliant tshuva, and though this is a very seemingly unlikely situation, based off of this theoretical question, he actually makes a number of very important psakim that are relevant halacha l'maisa. So, what are the two options for the moment? So, one option is to say, look, you can't force me to eat an apple. If I don't like an apple, I don't have to eat it. So when you say, eat this apple or I'll kill you, I'm allowed to say no. I don't want to eat the apple. You can't force me to eat the apple. Then, should you make this a situation of pikuach nefesh, then I can go ahead and kill you to protect my life. You're trying to kill me for no reason. Well, now, you know, you have to have a lot of confidence that you're going to be quicker to the gun than this other guy. But let's say you know you're faster, right? If I want to do that, I could do that. Because when I killed him, he was a rode. He was trying to kill me. I was trying to kill someone. I ended up killing someone who was trying to kill me. That's rode. You're allowed to kill someone who's trying to kill you. So maybe that should be okay. Now, what does this have to do with our case? Because perhaps that's exactly what's going on in our case. In our case, the Baal HaBayis has the right to stand his ground. Why? Because he has the right to protect his assets. Everybody has the right to protect their assets. You have no right to take my property. I could stand my ground and protect my assets. Now, if that causes the situation to escalate to one in which now my life is in danger, so then I could shoot you. I am not obligated to take precautions to think about what's going to happen in the future. It might be a good idea. But right now, since protecting my assets, or for that matter, refusing to eat the apple, is within my rights, you can't force me to eat the apple, so I'm allowed to refuse. I don't want to eat the apple. And then, if that causes the situation to escalate, such that I kill someone trying to kill me, so be it. This is quite interesting because, as we'll see in a moment, this might relate to a much broader halachic question, which is that of halachic planning. The question of halachic planning is, to what extent do I have to think of future contingencies now? I'll give you a couple of interesting examples, practical examples. Let's say I know that my wife is going to go into labor on Shabbos. It already looks like it's going to be in a couple of hours getting there. So, but it's still another 12 hours. That's my prediction. So I would much rather stay at home in a much more relaxed environment than go to the hospital now. But if I stay at home, I'm going to have to drive to the hospital. Right? Let's even assume it's going to be Chilul Shabbos Deraisa. I'm not even going to get a Amira Lenachri, a cab. There's no cabs where I live. So at the time that I drive to the hospital, it's a situation of pikuach nefesh. I could easily avoid this situation of pikuach nefesh by driving to the hospital before Shabbos. Do I have to? Right? Do I say, well, since at the time that I drive to the hospital, it's a situation of pikuach nefesh, since it's a situation of pikuach nefesh at the time that I drive, that driving is done better. So why should I have to now leave my house and be uncomfortable, sit in a hospital waiting room for 10 hours? Well, I'll just wait. Or do we say no? Since I can anticipate that there's going to be a need to drive on Shabbos, right now, I should have to do it. Or to give another situation. Let's say, this is a common question in the olden days, I want to go on a sea trip, and I know that there's a very good chance, maybe even a definite chance, that because of Pikuach Nefesh, on Shabbos, I'm going to have to be Mechal Shabbos, whether it's in a caravan in the desert, or on a boat on the ocean, or the like. Am I allowed to go on that caravan? So, these questions are a big machlokas rishonim, and there are various permutations. It's most famously known as a machlokas between the Baal HaMor and the Ramban. It relates both to the situation of going on the boat before Shabbos, a situation of whether I could do a meal on Shabbos where there I know that after the meal I'm going to have to cook water, to boil water to for the sake of the tinok. So can I do the meal in advance knowing that I'm going to have to do that? This is a general question of halachic planning, the obligation to consider future contingencies now. And that's essentially what we have over here, it would seem. Again, the question is, I know that we'll take both the case of Bava Machteres and the Apple case. In both cases, it's essentially the same thing. In the Bava Machteres thing, I'm allowed to stand my ground. Right? Everybody's allowed to protect their assets. So I stand my ground. Now I know that that will cause the situation to escalate. So, am I allowed to do it? Or do we say no? I have to engage in halachic planning. I have to consider what's going to happen. Since what's likely going to happen is going to cause the situation to escalate, then I have to consider it now. Or in the extreme example, the same thing with the apple. I'm allowed to, do we say, well, I know that if I refuse to eat this apple, what's going to happen? So therefore, I may not refuse, I must agree to eating the apple. Or no, can we say, right now, I could refuse. And whatever happens, happens. So essentially, what emerges is a fascinating question. This question that we started off with, of standing your ground versus retreating, might relate to an even broader question of halachic planning. Now, take a look at source 7 for the moment. D'tanya, Rav Yochanan ben Shaul Omer, Rodev Shaya Rodev Achaver Lahargo, V'yochal Atzilu Be'echem Eivarav, V'lo Hitzil Neharagalav. The halacha when it comes to Rodev is that if there is a Rodev, Reuven is chasing Shimon, trying to kill him. I can save Shimon's life by shooting Reuven in the heart or shooting him in the leg. If I shoot him in the heart, then Naragalov, I'm a murderer. Because even though it's true, Reuven was a Rodev, but since I could save Shimon's life without killing Reuven, if I kill Reuven to save Shimon's life, I'm a murderer. So seemingly, one would say, going back to our Apple case, the same thing should apply. I should say, since I could eat the apple, which would prevent a loss of life, so then I must do so. Or would we say no? We would say this is not like that case, because in this case we have two distinct stages. In stage one, I'm doing what I'm legally entitled to, standing my ground or refusing to eat the apple. And then, come what may, at stage two, when I have to kill the guy, so I'm legally killing someone who's chayav misa. It's just like the case of staying at home, not going to the hospital, and then when the situation of pikuach nefesh arises, so then I'll drive to the hospital, because that's a situation of pikuach nefesh. So that's essentially the question that we're dealing with. So we're not going to talk about the Hilchos Shabbos question, in terms of halachic planning, going to the hospital. That could be another shiur, a whole shiur in its own right. But we're going to focus on the implications with respect to our case of Rodev. Now, this question might go back to our initial question number one, concerning Bava Machteres. You see, the way to explain the Rambam is to say, why is it that the Rambam says that I'm allowed to stand my ground? we said, after all, you're not allowed to kill someone to save your money, so why could I stand my ground even though I know that's going to have lead to a situation where I'm going to have to kill someone? Maybe the Rambam holds that I'm not obligated to think of the future contingencies, what's going to happen in the future. Right now, step one, I could stand my ground. And then, if the guy continues, then I'll have to shoot him. Maybe I could even shoot him in advance. Now you'll say, but one second, you can never kill someone to save your money. And isn't that what I'm doing over here? The answer is that when you kill the Baba Machteres, that's not murder. You're killing someone who's Chayiv Misa. You're killing someone who's Chayiv Misa. It's true, you're not allowed to murder to save your life. But this isn't murder. Sorry, thank you. You're not allowed to murder someone to save your money. But this isn't murder. The person I'm killing is Chayiv Misa. In fact, the Ran goes so far as to say the following. This is a very big Chiddush. He says that if you could kill the Ganef, the Baba Machteres, with Sai, if you should, because in a sense, you're killing a murderer. He's a murderer. He's Chayiv Misa for being a murderer. Ne'erag al Shem Sofo, he didn't do it yet, but he's going to do it. So the ideal way to kill the murderer is Sayef. So if you can't do Sayef, you know, if you let him get that close, so then your life will be in further danger, so then you could shoot him. But if not, if theoretically you had two choices, how to kill him, you should kill him with Sayef. Remarkable. In other words, Iran is telling us that when you kill this Baba Machteres, this is not simply a situation of murder in order to save your life. You're killing someone who's Chayiv Misa. Usually, only Beis Din kills people Chayiv Misa after a whole court case and the like. Here, the Torah said, you know what? If he's coming to kill you, he's Baba Machteres, you expedite the situation and kill him now. Now, if that's true, so now we can understand why, even though you had a way of getting out of the situation, it's not considered killing someone to save your money. Because you're not doing murder to save your money, you're killing someone who is Chayiv Misa. If we go back for a moment to the analogy of Hilchos Shabbos, it's very likely that the same thing is true with Hilchos Shabbos. The halacha is, if you're Mechalel Shabbos for, at least I think this is the halacha, for Pikuach Nefesh, so that is not Chilul Shabbos. It's not the pshat that I was Mechalel Shabbos, it's mutter. The Torah said it's mutter to be Mechalel Shabbos. It's not Chilul Shabbos. And I would argue that's true even if you say Chilul Shabbos is Dechuya. Dechuya might mean that, yes, you should try to be Memayit Chilul Shabbos if you're able to. But if, let's say, you didn't, let's say you could have been Memayit Chilul Shabbos, you could have asked a Nachri to do this, or you could have done it with a Shinui, or something like that, and you didn't. You did melacha to save someone's life. You have not been Mechalel Shabbos. You don't have to do tshuva for Chilul Shabbos. What did you do? Okay, you should have tried to limit it, and you didn't try to limit it, but you didn't do Chilul Shabbos. Same thing is true, by the way, if you hold for, which is a source for the chiluk between Hutra and Dechuya for Shabbos, is for Avoda, right? There's a machlokes whether Tumas Hutra B'tzibor or Dechuya B'tzibor. If you hold it's Dechuya B'tzibor, so that means there's a Chiyav Lahader Achar Torim, you have to look for Torim to do it. But if you didn't, the Avodah is Ksher, it's not considered Avodah B'tumah. It's the same thing. So, going back to our case, the point here is that what I did is not Chilul Shabbos, is not, well, in Malacha it wouldn't be Chilul Shabbos, and the Balabayas who kills the Baba Machteres did not commit murder. Now, of course, if it's not yet a situation of pikuach nefesh when you kill him, so then it is murder, right? If he's 50 feet away, he's breaking into my house, he's 50 feet away from me, I know somehow or another he doesn't have a gun. He has a knife, but he has no gun, and I have a gun. So if I shoot him when he's 50 feet away, so that would be murder, because that's not yet a situation of pikuach nefesh, right? I have an option, I could say stop, or I'll shoot. I could say, get any closer or I'll kill you. And if I just shoot him anyway, so then, that's, my life was not yet in danger. It was killing someone, not in the, for the sake of pikuach nefesh. Then, the Baal HaBayis is certainly guilty. But, if the Baal HaBayis stands his ground, And that escalates the situation such that now his life is in danger. So then he would not have committed murder.
Isn't the pasuk clear that he's a chov b'machteres, and then he has the halacha, but if zarcha olav Hashem is not, so you have to say that he did the tunnel or just coming out of the tunnel.
So it's a good, interesting question. Now is not the time, but in the parshanut, how to explain zarcha olav Hashem. So your explanation is the explanation given by number Rishonim. It depends which direction he's going in. If he's already turned around, then you can't kill him. And if you do, then you the Baal HaBayis, has committed murder. That's exactly correct. Or the way the Unkula says it, if there's Edim, or if it's light outside, and therefore he's not going to be... All those explanations are getting to the point that you said. Exactly. In other words, I'm only exonerated. The Baal HaBayis has only done something permitted if he killed the Ganef at a time when his own life was in danger. Absolutely. Our question still is, though, can you create that situation? Could you escalate it? Now, possible proof for option number two, again, going back to question two, option two, that I can refuse to eat the apple, right? Refuse to eat the apple, even though I know that that's going to cause him to pull out his gun, which will force me to shoot him. So, again, at first glance, that seems like an absurd possibility. Again, we're not recommending this, but in theory, it's from a fascinating Gemara, Sanhedrin Pei Beis and Vala, source number 8. Ilu nefach zimri v'harag lepinchas ein neharag alav. What does that mean? So this is in another sugya, the sugya of kanayim pogimbo. Habol aramis kanayim pogimbo. If someone publicly sleeps with a non-Jewish woman, then kanayim, someone who's a kanai, who's a zealot, can kill him. And that's exactly what happened. Zimri was
cohabitating
with this Midianite woman, and Pinchas killed him in the act. Now, that's okay. The Gemara says, though, ilu nefach Zimri, let's say Zimri, while in the midst of the act, before Pinchas had a chance to kill him, would have killed Pinchas, in neharag alav. Then Zimri would be innocent, because Zimri would have been killing someone who was trying to kill him. That's what the Gemara says. Now, here's the question that we have to ask. Zimri had two options. He could have been poresh. The halacha is, once he's poresh, Pinchas could not have killed him. He could only kill him while in the act. So if Zimri was poresh, then Pinchas could not have killed him. So Zimri, as it were, had two options. He could either be poresh or kill Pinchas. And the halacha is that if he killed Pinchas, he would be innocent. So why don't we say no? He has to be poresh. And if he's not poresh, that's like yochel lahatzil be'echad me'ivarav. Zimri, had an option of saving Pinchas's life by being poresh. And since he wasn't poresh, so then he should be chayav for killing Pinchas. So why not? So there are a number of answers to this question, but the simplest reading that Rav Shlomo Zalman endorses is because Pinchas, Zimri, did not have to. This is exactly like the apple case, but going even further. Let's go back to our apple case, our apple shiloh. Question number two, right? If we say the following, our question was, A says to B, eat this apple or I'll kill you. And we said, number two, B has the right to stand his ground. He has the right to say, I don't want to eat an apple. You can't force me to eat an apple. And then, if that causes the situation to escalate to pikuach nefesh, you could kill number A. Kill A. So to over here, Zimri could say, I don't have to be poresh. Why doesn't he have to be poresh? He was already over the aveira. So right now, I don't have to be poresh. And therefore, if you try to kill me, I could shoot you. It's an extreme example of the lack of halachic planning that's required in a person. Zimri had the option. He had two options. He could be poresh or not be poresh. If he's not poresh, then his life is in danger and he could kill Pinchas. If he is poresh, his life is out of danger. He is allowed to kill Pinchas and not be poresh. Because at step one, he can't be told what to do. Pinchas has no right to tell him, be poresh. So then he doesn't have to be Poresh. And then, if his life is endangered by his decision not to be Poresh, so he could kill Pinchas. This remarkable possibility is actually implied by a number of Rishonim. Look at the Ran on source number 9, bottom of page 3. Batan Bezat. Who? Shezeshu Rodef Acher Chaver Lahargo. She'echad Ba Lahargo. Ein Lo Shehafech Laharog Es Haba Lahargo. Kadei Sheyatil Anirtaf. So now, the Ran notes a very interesting and important point, which is that there is a distinction between the case of Zimri and Pinchas versus a normal case of Rodef and Nirdaf. If, let's say, the Rodef, right? Reuven is chasing Shimon, trying to kill him. And then Bob sees this, and he tries to kill Reuven, which is the halacha. You're allowed to kill the Rodef. Not just the Nirdaf, not just Shimon, but any onlooker. So Reuven shoots Bob, who is trying to kill him. The answer is Reuven is chayv misa. That was murder. Right? So why is that different? Why do we say that if Zimri were to kill Pinchas, that wouldn't be murder, but if Reuven were to kill Bob, it is murder? So the Ran answers, yes, but you could still argue that Zimri was masculine than the Rifa. So you have to say a little better. It's fundamentally correct, but you have to... So, v'lama yiftor alav yoser mima shara gesanirdaf, ein lo ela sheyeshev v'lo yavor avera. Oh, in the case of Reuven killing Shimon, he should simply stop doing the avera. What avera? Pursuing Shimon. He should stop. Aval zeh shu balakusis, ena kanoim pogimbo kedei latzilo min avera. Kanoim pogimbo was not... to prevent an Aveira. Shekvar Nidbakba. He already did the Aveira. Why is Pinchas allowed to kill Zimri? El Lasos Bo Nikama. Habar Lahargacha Ashkem Lahargo. And therefore, Zimri could say, Habar Lahargacha, you Pinchas are coming to kill me? Hashkem Lahargo, and I'll kill you. Kol She'eno Mechuyev Misa's based in Bedabar. Because Zimri was not doing an Avera that's a Chiyuv Nisus based in. Because the Isser of Baal Aramis is not a Chiyuv Nisus based in. Okay. So the Meiri says a similar thing. We won't read it together. Remarkable point. Basically what they're saying is that if this is true in the case of being Baal Aramis, it's certainly true in the case of eating an apple. I have the legal right to do whatever I want. You have no legal right to try to stop me, to make me eat an apple or the like. And I am not responsible, at least according to the Rambam, and perhaps there's proof for this from the Rambam's position from the Gemara, to think about what's going to happen if I refuse. Now, since we're about halfway done, but we have 2 minutes left. So I'll give you some of the Rosh Prakim, further thoughts, further things to consider. The next question I wanted to consider with you is standing your ground on Shabbos. What's the halacha? Does Shabbos make any difference? On the one hand, the Gemara says that the din of Baba Machteres applies on Shabbos. So seemingly there won't be a difference. However, the Magen Avraham implies otherwise. The Magen Avraham implies that if someone is trying to steal from me and on Shabbos, I can't kill him or do any type of chilul Shabbos in order to protect my assets. Like we said, you're not allowed to be mechalel Shabbos to prevent the loss of money. So therefore, if I have an option of safely escaping on Shabbos so as to prevent chilul Shabbos, I must do so. I can't be mechalel Shabbos to save my assets. Seemingly, that's at odds with the Ramban's understanding of Baba Machteres. So there's two possibilities you could consider. Three, actually. One is that the Magen Avraham is against the Rambam that we started with. Maybe he's like the Ramar or the Ran. Possibility two is there's a chiluk between Babi Machteres on Shabbos and Pachol. Maybe we consider chilul Shabbos differently. And possibility three, which is what actually Rosh Shlomo Zalman prefers, is to suggest that even according to the Magen Avraham, you can, or at least lahalacha, you can protect your assets even on Shabbos, and if that causes the situation to escalate. So he considers a very fascinating thing. He says, let's say someone goes ahead and says, I'll kill you if you, or we'll say it like this way, or I'll kill you if you don't fry me an egg on Shabbos, or give me $1 million. So what's the halacha? So if your choice, you're not going to consider killing him, so your choice is either to give him $1 million or to fry him an egg, you have to give him $1 million. You can't save money to prevent Chol Shabbos. But if you have an option of killing him, that's different. Now you say, what difference does it make? Killing is also Chol Shabbos. Why should I be able to kill him and not fry him the egg? And the answer, Shlomo Zalman says, is fundamentally, standing your ground is always okay. So it's not the same situation. There's a lot to say that way. Take a look at some of these sources that they discuss this in your Makorah sheets. One last very interesting question that emerges from the Rambam, which Shlomo Zalman talks about as well, is the idea that according to the Rambam, it would seem that you could kill a Safek Rodef. But how does this whole question relate back to the question of Safek Rodef? And a Safek Rodef is a fascinating question. Police officer sees someone chasing. He doesn't know if it's a water gun or a real gun, right? Or the like. Well, what do you do? So a lot of interesting questions about Safek Rodef that will emerge from this discussion we had today. So there's much more to say. Keep on thinking about the topic. I'll take questions now afterwards, but I wanted to thank you very much for this wonderful opportunity and have a great day.
And there's only three averus that's the Ehoreg Valyavo.
Uh-huh.
And the others are Yavo Valyehoreg.
Right.
So for example, with the apple, what if you eat this chazer? And the guy says, eat this piece of chazer, I'll kill you. You have to eat the piece of chazer.
Of course.
Because it's not the
absolutely. You can. The question is,
can I stand my ground?
Instead of eating the chazer, could I shoot it? In other words, there's no doubt that you could eat the chazer to save your life. The only question that we're wondering about is there's three options.
Yeah, but the point is by a road he's of the other three. That's which is I walk around.
Exactly. So that's the question that you have to figure out. In other words, it depends on the question of if you see this in one stage or two stages.
Excellent. I enjoyed it very much.
Yes,
of course. The Minchas Asher in Parshas Bala, has a whole Minchas Nefesh.
Okay.
So those two, he ties
with the Bala. Consideration that the broken window is
So Shlomo Zalman brings that up. Yes, he makes that point. He says that from a societal perspective, killing the criminal also has an advantage.
Next time, I'll be successful.
Shlomo Zalman makes that point. So we're going to get there.
I have to
call.
All right. Thank you.
What happened to the air here?
Oh, construction.
Oh, what is that?
When you drive to the office, screwed up the air.
The Jack Benny joke. The money or your life. Whose life is in danger? Unless you think he's going to shoot you even after you give him the money. Otherwise, there's no point in eating an apple.
Yep. So that's what we said. It's a theoretical question.
All theory. Yeah. But this is going on all the time.
Uh-huh.